This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. No matter who wins in November, there will be many lasting lessons from this extraordinary presidential election. And I think one of those lessons isn't receiving the attention it deserves. It's about the complex ways that individual Americans define citizenship. However, a remarkable article in the most recent issue of The New Yorker confronts that question head-on. The article is titled, In the Heart of Trump Country. Writer Larissa McFarker observes the following. Quote, Hillary Clinton's America, the nation that welcomes everyone from everywhere, can sound abstract, more of a political idea or a moral position than a physical place, bloodless in ways both good and bad. McFarker then notes that Clinton's universalist abstraction may not feel right to many people, people for whom, quote, citizenship feels thicker than an idea. Well, citizenship that feels thicker than an idea. That is what pulled Diana Ploss into politics. She quit her job, was a delegate at the Republican National Convention, and now volunteers full-time for Donald Trump's campaign in Massachusetts. We spoke earlier with Diana Ploss. Here's our conversation. Diana, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. This is so exciting.
It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Let me first start just by asking you, have you been a lifelong Republican?
I have not been a lifelong Republican. I haven't even been a Republican for 2 years.
You were a Democrat before
I was a
that.
Lifelong Democrat.
So who did you vote for in 08 and 2012?
I did not. I voted for Romney.
Uh-huh.
I did not vote for Obama. But I pretty much, my whole life, right down the Democratic line.
Okay. So what prompted the change a couple years ago?
So I was living in Cambridge, one street over from the Marathon Bombers. And probably, it was probably like less than a half mile from where Officer Collier was executed.
He's the MIT police
he
officer
was the MIT,
who was killed
yeah.
by the Sarnia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was literally executed, yeah. right? I mean, he was yeah. sitting in his car. And even now, like just talking about it, I have chills. And I remember that night when the helicopters were overhead. I didn't know what was going on. And I remember that. And I was playing sports at the same time with a younger crowd, like 20s, 20-somethings. I started to hear a lot of, like, anti-American sentiment,
uh-huh.
Which struck me as odd because that's not how I grew up.
What were they saying specifically
just
that
like
sounded
they weren't
anti-American?
Pro-America. They weren't patriotic. It wasn't important to them. Like, you know, if we had a conversation about maybe I was at a Red Sox game and maybe the national anthem came on and people didn't take their hats off. Like, it just struck me.
Mm.
And so those things, I was like, I have to do something. And so the only thing I felt like I could do at the time was change my party. And I was a little nervous about it. And I was a little embarrassed and uncomfortable about it because growing up, it seemed like anything associated with being a Republican was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept it to myself for a long time.
You were living in Cambridge.
And I was living in Cambridge, and I was doing a cable TV show at CCTV, Health and Fitness. And from my experience of living there for, 13, 14 years, if you have an alternative opinion, it seems like it's not as welcomed.
Okay.
I feel like I came out in Cambridge, and once I did, people didn't even talk to me anymore. I mean, this is
once
real.
You came out as a
once
Republican.
Once I came out as a Republican. And I remember having a conversation with one of the people that put me on air for my show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, are you a conservative? No, I would not call myself a conservative. But people were really, they were shook up. They were shook up. I'm not kidding you. And I ended up quitting the show because, honestly, the level of intolerance was so bad. And I yeah. thought, this is so confusing to me. I thought I was supposed to be able to say who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I say I'm an American. Like, if there were a party that said the American Party, maybe I would have joined the American Party, right? I just believe in teams. I believe yeah. we work better as groups, as a family, as a country. We work better as a team.
But Hillary Clinton's campaign motto is stronger together. Isn't that the definition of working together as a team?
I don't trust her. And I feel like, and I'm going to use like severe words, I feel like I'm fighting for America more than I am fighting for Trump, right? I'm supporting him. Don't get me wrong. I am supporting him, but I'm fighting for America. I'm fighting for the team. That's how Diana's mind works. That's how I work.
It's an important distinction that you're making. So tell me more about what that means. Like, what America are you fighting for?
So, for example, as we're talking, you know, I worked in Chelsea for 3 years. See, that's what I worked as a nurse at Mass General in Chelsea. And I saw stuff like people would be shocked if we want to talk about illegal immigration, right? Where do illegal immigrants go, right? They're not going to Wellesley, right? They're not. They're going to Chelsea. I've seen what people look like after a machete attack. I've seen them. I've seen people filleted in Chelsea by gang violence. It's terrible. It's terrible.
The way that you just described it, though, Diana, it makes it sound like everyone who's responsible for violence in Chelsea is an illegal immigrant, and we know that's not true.
That's not what I said, but what I'm saying
is... But that's
what
it makes it sound
like. All I am right now is a voice on your radio station.
But I guess that made me wonder who's not on the team then. I mean, who is the team?
So I feel like you come here legally, you want to live by our laws, our culture, right? You can bring your own culture, but you want to abide by our... Right, you don't want to, you know, change us to be something else. You come all in, but I want everybody wearing the same jersey. Right? That's how I grew up. I grew up in Mission Hill. We had every flavor in my class. Right? I mean, I'm all for that. I'm just saying that if people come in here to do gang violence, they're not living in Wellesley. They're not. They're not living in Needham. They're not living in Sherbourne. They're not living in Dover. So who are the people that are affected the most? The poor people. The people who have no voice. Right? Those are the people that are affected the most. And that is very troubling to me. As you can tell, I'm getting my dander up a little because I feel like there's nobody out there speaking for them.
Can I ask you some questions about...
I know, I've been rambling.
No. This is really important because I think what you're communicating here, millions of other people feel the same way. I completely hear you when you say... You wonder, like, who's been looking after the interests of the most vulnerable people in this country? And I'm just wondering why you think that Donald Trump is the person who could do that, because we know that in his own business career, very often he's actually exploited working people, not paid them, you know, asked them to help build his buildings and then hasn't paid them. And so, he doesn't have a perfect track record by any means of looking after the interests of the most vulnerable or hardworking Americans. So why do you think he might do that now?
So we'd all have to look at each individual case. But what he said is that people didn't do their job. They didn't do their job. And I know from other jobs that he's taken on where they have been, you know, maybe said that it would take 3 years or 5 years. He's done them more quickly. He's done them under budget. He's a businessman, and he cares about the product that he puts out. Now, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying that you don't know all the stories behind it. So I feel like he will run the country as a business, and we need to be run like a business.
But let me ask you about that, because the way business is often run, it's people who get the short shrift. You know, like when you need to make a business leaner because you got to meet a certain bottom line, the easiest way to do that is to dump people. So what do you say to folks who have the concern that, like, government shouldn't be run like a business because it could actually end up harming the most vulnerable folks, the folks who you rightly say don't really usually have a voice?
Well, it might not harm those people. It might harm the people who have these career political jobs where they're doing nothing. They get jobs because they know somebody. They get jobs because their wife got elected or their husband got elected. That's how they get jobs. So no, it's not going to affect the little people. It's going to affect the bigger fish. And so we can go further with that, and we can say, geez, you know, Paul Ryan, he doesn't want to get out there for Trump anymore because he doesn't want to be affected. These people don't want to lose their cushy lifestyles. That's the garbage that Donald Trump, in my opinion, wants to get rid of, because these people are all connected. There are news people that are married to politicians. Like, that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. They're not helping us. They're not helping Team America. They're not.
I think a lot of people, they're shaking their heads because, yeah, a lot of people feel really disenfranchised. I mean, we have horrible income inequality in America. I mean, Boston's one of the places where the rich are so much more richer than an average working person. It's kind of confusing to them why someone who has had a life of luxury since he was born and has had basically all the assistance that anyone who's, you know, in that upper group of Americans would ever have hoped to receive, why they think, like, that's the person who could help everyone else.
But why not the person? This guy could just be having a cushy time right now. Why would he be running? Like, why would he be? He doesn't need the money.
Some people want to be powerful.
I don't know about that. Or maybe he does really want to change things. Why can't it be that? Why does it always have to be, I want power because I had power? Could it be, you know what? I have power. That puts me in a perfect position to help fix this problem. Why couldn't it be that?
When we first started talking, I heard you loud and clear when you said...
Was I too loud?
No. No. But when you said that a sense of security and confidence and respect for America, for the team, as you said it, is really important to you. Honestly, respect is important to me. I feel like we should all be respecting each other. But Donald Trump himself, over the course of the campaign, has disrespected so many people and so many groups. I mean, immigrants, Muslims, POWs, a Gold Star family, a former Miss Universe, disrespected African Americans living in the inner city. Just this past weekend, he very aggressively disrespected women, at least in what he said in that tape. If respect is so important, why are you throwing your support behind someone who actively disrespects so many people, so many groups?
I have been thinking about this, right? I don't feel like he disrespected women having a private conversation with another guy. And let me tell you why. I'm over 50, and I have heard men talk like that and worse my whole adult life.
Well, let me put it this way. The presidency of the United States is the most powerful, influential position in the world. We look to the president not just for economic leadership or military leadership as commander-in-chief, but also for character leadership, because this is a person that's setting the example for what America stands for to the rest of the world. That's the problem. It's not that other people might have said it. Those other people don't want to be president, and he does.
Bill Clinton did what he did in the White House. JFK did what he did in the White House. You're going to tell me that because they're not talking about it, they're not doing it? These are all alpha males. There is no way that these people aren't doing it. People voted for Ted Kennedy. He put a woman in the water. I mean, he put a woman, what left her there? These people, you know, they want power, right? Some of these people want power. They don't care who they hurt in the process.
Well, isn't that, aren't you describing Donald Trump then?
No, because I feel like he hasn't put anybody in a river, right? Ted Kennedy still got elected after that. How does he still get elected? I went to Catholic school. The Kennedys were revered. Revered.
So no matter what happens on Election Day, and no matter who wins the presidency, do you think America can come together after the election?
I think if Hillary Clinton comes in and she keeps up what she's doing, I honestly, I don't mean to sound apocalyptic, I think we're doomed.
So you don't think America can come together if Hillary Clinton wins? You think only America can come together if Donald Trump wins?
Maybe this is just symbolic, but she was at the debate the other night. She didn't have a flag pin on, and that really is bothersome to me. She's not about teams. That's not her MO. And people don't like it. They want to be individuals. I think you need to be the team, and then you can be the individuals on the team. Without that, it's not good. It just doesn't work.
Well, let me ask you this. What would Donald Trump have to do? What line would he have to cross, do or say, that would be too far for you?
At this point, let's go back to what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for America, so... Nothing. I am going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm voting early. Honestly, there is nothing because I feel like I'm fighting for America. I'm not fighting for Donald Trump. He's the conduit. So yeah, in a sense I am, but he is fighting for America. And so that's why I'm going to cast my vote for him.
Well, Diana Ploss is a volunteer for the Trump campaign in Massachusetts. Diana, thank you so much for coming in and for talking with me.
It was so nice to meet you in person. I've heard you on the radio so many times.
It was a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Back in a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.